Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
Jonah, whose name means dove, is the son of Amittai, a prophet from Gath-Hepher in Zebulun, a territory in the northern kingdom of Israel. He prophesies after the days of Elisha during the reign of Jeroboam II. His story is told in a short but powerful book of the Old Testament. When God calls Jonah to go and warn the violent and godless Ninevites of their impending doom, Jonah is overcome with a complex mix of emotions and thoughts. He feels a deep sense of dread and reluctance, not only because Nineveh is known for its brutality and wickedness, but also because he fears that his message will not be well received, or worse, that it might lead to his own harm. Internally, Jonah wrestles with resentment. He struggles with the idea of offering a chance of redemption to a people he believes are undeserving of God's mercy. Jonah's first instincts are driven by fear and a strong desire to avoid the task at hand. He thinks about the potential futility of his mission, wondering if warning such a notoriously harsh and evil city could ever lead to real change. This skepticism is shadowed by a deeper, more personal conflict. He grapples with his own understanding of God's justice and mercy, questioning why God would spare such a ruthless city if they were to repent. After thinking about the situation and his calling, he comes to an illogical decision.
Breakfast will be ready soon.
I don't have time for that. I have urgent business and will be gone for some time.
Where are you going? And how long will you be gone? But Jonah leaves without answering.
Jonah, where are you off to in such a hurry this morning?
Eldad, I need to borrow your mule.
My mule? Whatever for?
Please, I don't have much time to explain.
Very well, then. It is tied up in the back.
Jonah rides the donkey, pushing it to go as hard and as fast as it will. The animal moves at a fast clip for momentary bursts, but has to rest frequently. It isn't really built for the journey Jonah intends for it. The prophet rides the donkey to Joppa, a city on the Mediterranean coast, over a distance of approximately 60 miles, about 97 kilometers. Over 2 days, he travels through the interior region southward, towards the plain of Sharon, a fertile area running parallel to the coast. This route involves traversing the hilly regions of Lower Galilee before reaching the more level ground of the Sharon Plain. Joppa is an important port city, serving as the maritime gateway for goods coming into and going out of Israel. Its strategic importance makes it a well-known location, connected by established roads and trade routes used by merchants, pilgrims, and officials.
Do you have ships in port that are sailing today?
Yes, we have ships sailing today.
Which one is sailing the farthest?
There is a Phoenician ship that is traveling to Tarshish.
Book me passage on it.
It is a merchant ship, carrying oil, wine, wool, and linen textiles.
I can help the crew, and I will pay 20 shekels of silver.
20 shekels? That's a large sum. Let me see what I can do.
Make ready, lads. We're setting off.
The ship sets sail, headed for the Great Sea. At first, Jonah thinks he has successfully run away from his assignment. But the Lord sends a great wind into the sea, and there is a mighty tempest, so that the ship threatens to break apart.
Captain, we can't hold her much longer. The seas are against us.
check the cargo, throw off any unnecessary weight, and pray to your gods. Men, pray.
Meanwhile, Jonah has gone down into the inner part of the ship and has lain down and is fast asleep.
What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, that we may not perish.
And they say to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.
The lot falls to Jonah.
Tell us now, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?
I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.
What have you done?
For the men knew he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them.
What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?
Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.
I cannot do that. You'll be killed.
Nevertheless, the men row hard to get back to dry land, but they cannot, for the sea grows more and more tempestuous against them.
May the Lord not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.
So they pick up Jonah and throw him into the sea. And the sea ceases from its raging.
Truly, he worships the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land.
What will become of him?
That is not for us to decide.
The ship resumes its course toward Tarshish, and the Lord appoints a great fish to swallow up Jonah.
In the gloomy depths of a sea giant's belly, I find myself ensnared, swallowed whole not just by a creature of the deep, but by the weight of my own defiance. The oppressive darkness here, a darkness so complete, so suffocating, it seeps into your very soul. There's no light, not a sliver, not a speck. It's as if the sun itself has been blotted out from existence. The walls around me are alive, pulsing and constricting like the heart of the sea itself. Each movement of the beast sends shivers through my bones. The air. Oh, the air. Thick and foul, it reeks of decay and brine, filling my lungs with the stench of digested depths. It's warm. Too warm, humid and clinging, sticking to my skin. A constant reminder of my grim enclosure. Here, within these fleshy confines, I am isolated from all I've known and all who know me. The sounds are muffled, the sloshing of water, the distant, haunting calls of other sea creatures, and above all, the constant rhythmic beat of the beast's heart. A stark reminder of the life going on outside my prison, indifferent to the man trapped within. Fear first gripped me, terror at the realization of where I was. Swallowed alive. Thoughts of death were my companions, curling around me like the cold chains of Sheol. But in this unlikely tomb, I was confronted not just by the fear of death, but by the enormity of my flight from God. Here in the depths, I can run no further. I face the stark reflection of my own rebellion. I turn to prayer, my voice the only human sound in this vast, watery expanse. My prayers echo in the cramped darkness, words of repentance and pleas for mercy. How profound the irony to be heard by God in the belly of a beast when I have tried so hard to flee his presence on solid ground. My prayers are those of a broken man, recognizing that even here, God's hand can still reach me, can still pull me from the depths. Time seems irrelevant. It stretches and twists, minutes melding into hours, or have they been days? Despair tries to take hold, but in its grip, I find a stubborn, flickering hope. The lessons of the deep are harsh but clear. God's mercy is as boundless as the seas, his reach as deep as the deepest ocean. Yes, I am trapped in the belly of this great fish, but I am still alive.
To be continued.